Well, good morning, everybody. Happy New Year. And it's a new day. I'm thankful for it. I sure appreciate everybody coming out this morning. I feel like everybody looked at their clocks wrong or something, thought it was 11. This place is full. I'm thankful for it. Makes me a little more nervous, though, Brother Jerry, honestly. I don't know. But I appreciate everybody coming out for Sunday school. And I just thank the Lord for the good reports we've already heard. And feel like He's already been ministering to our hearts, and I'm thankful for it. And so we're in 1 John chapter 3, and we're going to pick up where we left off last week. do just a little bit of recap today, just to catch us back up. So 1 John chapter 3, and we're looking at the confidence that we have with the Lord and how our hearts sometimes get in our way. But we'll start the reading in verse number 19. The Bible says, "And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. And he that keepeth His commandments dwelleth in Him, and He in him. And hereby we know that He abideth in us by the Spirit which He hath given us." And so as I already said, we've been dealing here, looking at the confidence that we can have in really, it's not confidence in us, it's confidence in the Lord. So there in verse number 19, it says, "Hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts." And last week we looked and over the next three verses there, or those three verses, it talks about our hearts. I think four different times that it mentions it. And just as a reminder what that heart is, it's the seed of the very, very affections and passions, as our love and joy and grief and enmity, courage, pleasure, etc. All those different things. And I'm going to read this quote one more time because it was so good. It says, "We read of an honest and a good heart and an evil heart of unbelief, a willing heart, a heavy heart, sorrow of heart, a hard heart, a proud heart, and a pure heart. The heart faints in adversity or under discouragement, that is, courage fails. The heart is deceived, enlarged, reproved, lifted up, fixed, established, moved, etc." And so last week, what we really established, Brother Jesse, is that our hearts are volatile. That's the word that I used. And sometimes we're up, sometimes we're down, sometimes we're everywhere in between, Brother Rick. I mean, we find ourselves everywhere in our hearts. And just one slight thing can change the way we feel in our heart. And really, if we're not careful, it'll change us in how we approach God. And it should never affect how we approach God. We know how we can approach God. He's given us what we can do. But sometimes our hearts affect that and how we feel toward God. But this verse says that we shall assure our hearts, that verse 19. Once again, it's not God that needs assured of us, but we need assured that we can approach God. We need to know that it's okay for us to come to God and to know that we're okay with Him, and that He knows us as we are, and have that comfort level of being able to reach out to Him. And so oftentimes we find ourselves in a predicament where we're trying to work enough to be accepted, we're trying to live right, do right, and those are all right in their place. But I don't know about you, but sometimes we think, man, if I didn't read enough of my Bible today, the Lord's not interested in me. Or if I didn't pray enough today, the Lord don't care much about me. Or there ain't no sense in me praying today because I've got all this other stuff on my mind. All those different things. And that's all about our hearts. It's never about God, because He, as we said last week, He doesn't change. He's always the same. But us, man, we're wishy-washy is what we are. Just this way one day, this way another day. And we need to get that settled in our hearts. And so we wrapped up last week, and it all boils down to this. If we want assurance in our hearts, both of our salvation, both with our confidence that we can approach God as Christians, all those things, it boils down to who are you trusting in? It boils down to, are you trusting in you and what you have done, or do you trust in Christ and what Christ has done? That's really where it's at.
That's right.
And that's the dividing line, really, amongst religions, amongst all different churches, amongst individuals, is what are you trusting in? Are you trusting in you? Boy, it got quiet all of a sudden, didn't it? Is it trusting in you? Or are we trusting in Christ?
Yes.
You see, if you're not careful, even your salvation testimony sometimes will turn into something about you.
Right.
It'll turn into what you prayed. It'll turn into the things you said, the tears you cried, the way you felt. And all those things are okay. But our salvation is not of us. And whether you cried a river of tears or whether you cried no tears, whether you prayed a long prayer or a short prayer, whether you made it to the altar or made it not to the altar, whether you got saved at home or whatever. I mean, all those things. Jesse, we all have different experiences. But at the end of the day, where's our salvation of?
Yes.
It is of the Lord.
Right.
You and I can do nothing for it. We can't help it. I mean, it just, He does it all. We just have to, as Delmer says it right, we just got to get in the place where we're willing to accept that.
Yep.
And that's the hard part, is getting ourselves in that position. But one of the things we have to remember is that we need to, Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. And so often we try to reason through things and we try to reason with God and all these things. And He does say, come now, let us reason together. But He's trying to tell you what He's done for you. That's the reason that He wants to do.
Oh, yeah.
He said, quit thinking about what you've done and let me tell you what I've done for you.
Amen.
And I'm thankful for a God like that. But at the end of the day, it's never what you've done. It's always about what He's done. Ephesians chapter 3, or chapter 1, I always try to keep this. I grabbed a hold of this verse, I don't know, several years ago, and I've never let it go, and Lord willing, I hope I never do. But Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 3, read down through verse number 6, says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein, and I love this phrase, He hath made us accepted in the Beloved.
Right.
Well, there was a day in my life that phrase just stuck out. And I continually found myself just trying to please God and find grace. I'd been saved, but you just like them Galatians sort of air back to, man, I got to live right, got to do right. We do need to do all those things, but our motivation can't be of, if I don't do those things, God won't love me no more. But we do those things because we love Him.
Right.
We love Him because He first loved us. We've got to be motivated just out of our love. It can't be out of obligation. We can't just serve out of obligation. God gets no glory out of that, and we get misery out of it.
That's right.
That's what comes of it. So once you grab a hold of the fact that we're accepted not on the basis, Kyle, of what we've done, but purely because of the Beloved.
Oh, yes.
We're accepted in the Beloved. God said, this is my Beloved Son.
Yes, sir.
In whom I am
That's
well
it.
Pleased. Hear ye Him.
Me.
So, if you want assurance, you know where you find assurance? You find it in Christ.
Right.
And Christ alone.
That's
You'll
it.
Not find it in anything else.
True.
Nothing. So though Christ and Christ alone. That's salvation, that is comfort, that is joy, that's everything that you need. You find it in Christ and Him alone. And I'm thankful for that. I hope you get a hold of that today. But we're going to move on to verse number 20. Back in 1 John chapter 3, verse 20, he says, "For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things."
Yep.
So, you know, I've already mentioned this a little bit, but do you ever question your ability to approach God? Do you ever think, man, I really need to pray about this? But you question whether or not I can. Do you ever find yourself in that place? You say, well, even if I do, it won't matter. God's not interested in me. I've messed up too bad today. Man, I was a mess yesterday. God's not interested in me. If we're all honest, there are times we all feel that way.
That's right.
We make such a mess of things. And that, I mean, it can be with... It can be at home, it can be with your spouse, it can be with your kids, it can be at church, it can be over something. Man, I've been beat up over something I've said in Sunday school before.
Sure.
And just think, man, I've ruined that. I've messed up so bad. And it just shipwrecked me. But at the end of the day, does God know who we are and what we are? Does He not remember that we're but dust?
Right.
He knows our frame.
Right.
He remembers. We forget, but He remembers. He knows what we're made of. He knows the very thoughts and intents of our heart. We don't. It's deceitful above all things, we said last week. But He knows. But no matter our feelings, this verse here teaches us, no matter what our heart tells us, God is greater than our heart. So if your heart condemns you, and very often our hearts condemn us, don't they? My heart reminds me very often of what I've done, how bad of a mess I am, and how I feel. It says, you don't feel like anything. You don't deserve anything. But it's then I remember the Scripture. And I remember Dustin, what he says about it. And we'll look at some of that here in just a minute. But one of the big things to remember today is, you know, the world will say, follow your heart. But when it comes to following the Lord, never follow your heart.
Sure.
Now, every now and then your heart might get it right if you get your heart in line with His heart.
Yep.
But the problem is, John, most times our hearts are not in line with His heart naturally. Not naturally. They're always opposite. We're naturally in rebellion. So it takes some work to get our hearts lined up with His. And so don't ever follow your heart unless you're assured that your heart is in line with what He's desiring, what His heart is. But here's the thing. He's given us an open invitation. Very open invitation to come to Him. No matter how I feel. He doesn't put stipulation. There are a few stipulations and we'll cover them. But they're real simple. But He never says it matters. Kevin, if you feel bad, if you're angry, if you're sad, if you're hurt, He never says, don't come if you're those. He doesn't say, just approach me if you're happy. Don't approach me if you feel good today.
You're right.
Him, He just says, come.
Yes.
He says to come. Look with me in Hebrews chapter 4. We'll look at some very familiar passages, hopefully. And if they're not, they can be. You say, well, I've sinned too much. He don't want to hear me. Well, Hebrews chapter 4,
yep,
verse 14 says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. He says, grab a hold of that thing and hold on tight. Not because you can lose it, but because you want confidence.
Yep.
That's what he's talking about there. Don't take what some folks tell you there, say you've got to hold on it, and if you let it go, you've lost it. That's not what he's talking about. But he's saying grab a hold of that thing and be assured of it. It's yours. Hold fast your profession. He says, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He says, Christ suffered all the temptations just like you and I suffer, yet without sin. Verse 16, let us therefore. I love the word therefore in our Bibles because he's telling us, just because of what I just said, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we might obtain or may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So, in other words, we are allowed to come boldly, even in a sinful condition. You see, it's iniquity. That's what it's talking about. In a time of iniquity. You say, well, he don't hear sinners. Well, he hears this one. And if you're one, guess what? He'll hear you too. When you come on his terms. You come on his terms. He says even come boldly, even with iniquity. Let us come boldly. You know what you're coming to? The throne of grace. That you might obtain what? Mercy. Well, who needs mercy? The sinner, all of us. You know what you need it for? For your iniquity. That's what it's talking about. You bring it to him. And you bring it boldly. That word boldly means confidently, without timidity or fear. In other words, we don't come thinking, Lord, what are you going to do to me when I bring this to you? You come knowing what he's going to do with it. He's going to take it. He died for it. He died for you. Come boldly to the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need.
Right.
Folks, he's made himself willing and open to every person here to come boldly. Bring what you are, all your mess ups, all your problems, all your troubles, everything, your sins, transgressions, iniquity, whatever it is, whatever mess up, bring it to him. If you need help, guess where you'll find it? You'll find it at the throne of grace.
That's it.
That's the only place I know of where you find mercy. If you want mercy, you're going to have to come to his throne. He's the one who gives it. Obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. We see this word again, boldness. Verse 19, Hebrews 10, 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus.
Yes.
You notice it's not by me, Dustin. It's not by my good works, not by anything that I've done, but it's by him. That's how we get in.
Yep.
By a new and living way. Guess who consecrated it for us?
Yes, sir.
He did. Not you and I. We didn't make our own way. We can't make our way to him. He made the way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil. That is to say, whose flesh? His flesh. You see what it's telling us? We can come boldly because of him. Through his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God. Verse 22, let us draw near. It says with a true heart. In what kind of assurance? Full assurance of faith. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Don't be wishy-washy about it. Just believe what he said. For he is faithful that promised, it says. And let us consider one another, provoke one another to love and good works. We'll just add this together because it's important. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Just in case y'all forgot that verse. I'm glad you're here this morning. You're honoring this verse by being here. But, folks, once again, he says, grab a hold of that thing. He's faithful that promised. And you can come with boldness. Now, that don't mean come proudly. Don't come arrogantly That word does not mean that. He will refuse you if you come in pride, saying, God, you said this and you've got to do it. You better be careful how you approach God. But you can come boldly. But that boldness has to be solely based on you knowing what God said He would do and trusting it. Remember what you're coming for. You're coming to obtain mercy and find help. So we come understanding in humility who we are, who He is. It says, let us draw near with a true heart. What's that word true mean? It means a genuine, pure, real, unadulterated. It means just come like you really are.
Oh, yes.
Don't try to fool God. And it also can mean faithful. In other words, when you come before Him, don't have half your heart over there. And then approach Him. So it means if you want help from God, where does your heart need to be? Your heart needs to be toward Him.
Yes.
Got to get your heart in the right direction. But man, if you'll do these things and understand that you have access, we can be assured we can come before Him. No matter what's going on. You say, what I've done is too bad. Well, not according to the Scripture. Just come.
Yep.
He will help you.
Guaranteed.
Don't mean you won't face consequences for it. You go out in the world and do something stupid, guess what? There will be consequences. God can forgive you, but that don't mean that you won't be in jail tomorrow.
Right.
Make that real clear.
Yeah.
You go out and do something stupid, you do the crime, you pay the time, that's okay. Folks, but God's still gracious. And He's merciful. And He wants to help. 1 John 1:9, we already dealt with that. If we confess our sins, He's what? Faithful and just. It means He's right. To forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from what? All unrighteousness. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. I'll read it so I don't get it wrong. Chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, these things write unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. We come not on our merit, but we just come trusting Him. That's all we can do. Now this is a real important one, the book of James. James chapter 4, verse number 6. The Bible says, but He giveth more grace. Wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. That's a promise, folks. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. Do you see how much that our hearts, over in Hebrews it said, come with a true heart. Here in James it says that you need to purify your hearts. Why is that? That our approach to God is so intermingled with our heart. It's because our heart's what gets in the way oftentimes of us really getting a hold of God, because our heart is somewhere else. Our hearts are messed up. They've been defiled by something. It can be sin in our hearts. It can be just our hearts and our love is toward something else. But if we will purify our hearts, if we will cleanse ourselves of all those things, then we can come with full assurance.
Yep.
And know that He hears us. And we can just take Him at His word. You see, it's never God that's the problem. It's never Him that's in the way. It's always us. We get in our own way. We're the ones who hinder things from happening in our lives that God wants to happen. We cause the problems. He's always the solution. But it's because of Christ that we can come boldly. We can come in that true heart, just pure, come before Him. Get everything else aside, lay it all aside, and just come reaching out to God truly, trusting Him with everything you are. Understand that when you come before Him, most likely you are in need of cleansing and help, and desire that cleansing. So don't approach Him, as I said, proudly, but come humbly. Just say, Lord, I know that I need You, and that I'm nothing of myself. But it is okay to quote Scripture to the Lord sometimes. I don't know if you've ever done that, but I've had to. I've said oftentimes, Lord, I know how I feel, but I know what Your Word says, and it says this.
Yep.
And that's got me through a lot of times.
Me too.
Say, Lord, You said this, and I'm just going to trust You for what You said.
Yes.
And you know what kind of assurance that brings to the life of a believer? That's everything. Folks, if you've not figured it out, if you've been in this thing for any time, this book is everything.
That's right.
And if you don't believe this book, you're not going to make it very far in this life.
That's right.
Not in a Christian life. You can't get nowhere without it. You'd be miserable, be confused, constantly worried. But man, you get in this book, you should believe what it says. You can have full assurance.
Yep.
Paul was fully persuaded. Abraham was fully persuaded that God was able to do what only He could do. Remember how God told him to kill his son? Guess what Abram thought? He said, Lord, You already told me that You're going to raise up seed to him. And if that's going to be the case, don't matter if I kill him, don't matter if what happens, Lord. If that's what happens, I trust that You're able to just raise him up.
Yeah.
He just took God at His word. Why? He was fully persuaded. Mm-hmm. Where do we need to be? Fully persuaded. We need to be fully assured. When we approach God, when we come up here to pray, you know what we need to be? Fully persuaded.
Guaranteed.
Fully assured. Bold. Confident. But I don't feel like many of us live that way, do we? We constantly live life saying, Lord, do You hear us? Are You even there today? That's the way I see people living, including myself. We forget what we have in Christ. But He's the one who told us this. But look at Psalm 66 with me. This is such a blessing to me. Psalm 66, verse 17. I don't really know who wrote this psalm, but it's in our Bible, so I'm glad that we have it. Psalm 66, verse 17, it says, I cried unto Him with my mouth, and He was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor His mercy from me. Ain't that real interesting? That he cries unto the Lord. The Bible says he extols Him. That means he commends Him. He lifts Him up. What he's doing is building God up. He's exalting the Lord. But then he puts that line in there, and that's in there for you and I.
Yes.
It says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Once again, the heart gets in the way. So you can't come before God half-hearted, hiding sin, hiding anything that is displeasing to God, trying to keep that back here out of God's view, and then still try to pray. It won't work that way. You're not going to get what you desire. But verse 19, look how assuredly the writer puts this, but verily God hath heard me. Do you reckon he heard bells in heaven when he cried? Do you think that there was an alarm that said prayer heard? I don't think so. I think the writer was just trusting in the character of God. And he knew that if I get sin out of the way, and if I put Christ in his place and I call out on him, he will hear me. And so he just believed God. And he just says, but truly, God hath heard me. He just trusted God heard his prayer. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. Folks, you and I can live that way. We can live in constant assurance that he hears us. But I feel like, Brother Rod, we live so often in constant unsureness. Just constant worry and fear. God, do you really hear me? Well, we've got the prescription on how to be heard. It's simple. But so often we just fail to do it. And I don't want to get ahead of myself just yet. Let's move on to verse 21, back in 1 John chapter 3. So there in verse 20 he says, if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart. So in other words, we can believe God over our heart. He knows all things. In verse 21, he says, beloved, if our heart condemn us not, in other words, if we can get past all this, if we can not let all this, our hearts, get in our way, that's what he's saying. If we can get rid of that, he says, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. See, it's our heart that gets in the way. That's what he's trying to tell us. Our heart is the problem. And so if we keep our feelings out of the way, if we keep all the things in the world and the other places that our hearts are and our affections are, if we can get all that out of the way and get our affections and our hearts toward Christ, then we can just be confident.
Right.
Just be confident. Know that he hears us. Know he wants to hear from you. But you say, here's the big question, right? How do I get myself to that point? You know, that sounds real good. It sounds real easy to say, well, just get all that out of the way and just do it. It's not that easy in the real world, is it? We're just bombarded. And I don't really know a lot how to do it. I know that Paul said to think on these things. He gave us a list of them. Right? It's just getting your mind and your affections tuned in where they need to be. Look with me at Psalm 57. This is a psalm of David. I want to read this whole psalm. It says, be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpast. I will cry unto God most high, unto God that performeth all things for me. He knew where his help came from, didn't he? He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up. Selah. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. He's confident, isn't he? My soul is among lions. Notice the circumstances he's living in. It says, my soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Does that sound like a good place to be? That sounds like a dangerous place to be, don't it? But you notice the next verse. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. He's in a bad place. He says, they've digged a pit for me, into the midst whereof they are fallen themselves. Selah. What he's doing is watching God work because he's trusted in the Lord. But verse 7 says this, and this is the place we need to get to. He says, my heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Awake up my glory, awake psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations. For thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. He got his heart fixed. Now that don't mean that he's not telling us he got his heart repaired, even though he kind of did. But what he's saying is, my heart is established. It is settled. It is secure.
Yep.
It is anchored. It is fixed. Anything that's fixed, Brother Kim's not easily moved. See, I'm afraid a lot of us don't have our hearts fixed. See, if you want to get your heart fixed, you got to make sure you attach it to the right foundation. If you want to fix something, they taught us in school that if you want to fix something, you got to make that connection just right. And that'll keep it from swaying. Keep it from bending. Keep it from rotating. You get it fixed just right. Folks, Christ is our foundation. He's our anchor. He's our fixity. If you want to be fixed, if you want your heart fixed, you just got to give everything you are to Him. Give it to Him. And I don't know about you, but I want fixity in my life. I like to be secure. I don't like to have to worry tomorrow. I mean, that comes with, I don't want to have to worry about my marriage. I don't want to have to worry about my kids. I don't want to have to worry about my house being paid for. All those things. I don't want to have to worry about my future, my financial future. I want to save for that. I mean, I like security. Why would I not want the same spiritually?
Right.
You know where we find that? We get fixed. We get our hearts fixed in Christ.
Yes.
Just anchored deep. And the only way I know to do that is to spend time right here. Ask Him to help you with it. And lay aside the affections of this life. Take up His affections. Set your affections on Him. Isaiah 26:3 says this, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace.
Yes.
Perfect peace. How many of you like the sound of that?
Oh, yes.
Whose mind is stayed. That word means fixed. On thee,
yep.
Because he trusteth in thee. That's what it takes. You know how you have perfect peace? You put all your trust in Christ. All of it. Everything. For your finances, your family, your future. All of it. In Christ. Everything. Has to be in Christ. Otherwise, there's no security.
Right.
No security. Why could Job worship when he lost everything? He realized his security was not in all those things. His security came only from God. And so he just fell down and worshiped. He said, Lord, I've lost it all. You gave it all. You can take it all. Blessed be the name of the Lord. David said, I'll exalt you, Lord. In the midst of these people that with these ginormous teeth and spears and arrows and setting nets and pits, I'll just exalt you. Why? His heart was fixed. He trusted the Lord. And we can do the same. And we're about done. We'll wrap up right here. But one more question. I think there's one more for the day. Do you realize that your heart, has an impact on God's heart? You know God has a heart? He does. The Bible teaches us He has a heart. Genesis chapter number 6. We read part of this the other day, last week. Genesis chapter 6, verse number 5, it says, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. But look at verse 6, it says, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him. Where? At his heart.
Right.
It grieved God's heart. Why? Because man's hearts were evil. Folks, you know what happens when your heart's not right with God? It grieves his heart. That's why the Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit, right? Grieve not the Holy Ghost. Quench not the Spirit. Folks, we can grieve him. We can hurt his heart. And we need to be real careful with that. But if you want God's heart, then you've got to give him yours. The Bible said in 1 Samuel 13:14, that David was a man after his own heart, after God's own heart. And it's through our hearts, you know, that with our hearts are so important. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10 that it's through our hearts that we receive salvation. If you've got to believe with all your heart, right? Confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thine heart, God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved, right? For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Our hearts are important. I guarantee if you ever got saved, that day your heart got fixed in the right direction.
Right.
If it didn't, you didn't get saved. But if you got your heart right that day, got fixed on Christ, then you got saved. And that made all the difference. But I'm afraid the big problem with all of us is the reason our hearts are messed up, the reason we're all mixed up, can't worship sometimes, is because we're trying to do it half-heartedly.
Yes.
I think I may have even said that last week. You see, we want to come in here and give God a portion of it while the rest of it is out there somewhere on other things.
Yep.
And guess what? Don't work. It'll never work. You come in here and you can't worship, it's not God's fault. It's probably because your heart's not in it. Your heart's somewhere else. Remember this, Matthew 6:21, the Bible says that where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. What are you invested in? That's probably where your heart's at. If it's in hunting and fishing, probably where your heart's at.
Right.
If it's in makeup and whatever,
yep,
that's probably where your heart's at.
Yep.
But if it's in the Lord, you're good to go. We ought to be able to worship today. Why don't we all step out of here for a few minutes and we go pray? Let's all get our hearts turned in the right direction.
Oh, yes.
Toward Christ. So that when we come back in here in just a few minutes, maybe, I don't know, maybe 5 minutes now, we can all worship. And Christ can be exalted in the midst of our circumstances because our hearts are no longer out there, that they're right in here. And they're focused on him. Appreciate everybody's good attention this morning.